It's confusing, complex, and costly. The modern healthcare industry is a maze of money. The tangle of insurance, negotiated rates, and secrecy makes shopping for healthcare and healthcare insurance very difficult. Why is it so complex? How are prices kept secret? And how much bargaining power do patients really have? I'm Tom Hudson. Coming up on the Sunshine Economy, the power of price, healthcare in South Florida. Months ago, a local hospital CEO pledged to make public what insurance companies pay his facility. He returns today to the Sunshine Economy. It's price transparency and healthcare, the power of price, on today's Sunshine Economy on WLRN. Welcome to the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. Power of price. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks for listening. So let's start with a simple question. How much is it? Almost everything we buy, at some point, we ask that question. Now, complexity, confusion, and secrecy, that's what most patients encounter when asking how much for their health care. If you get insurance through your job, that medical care insurance premium marked on every paycheck, that's only the start. Now, there have been efforts. In each of the past two summers, the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services government insurance plans has published a list of what hospitals charge for the same procedures. Now, these charges can vary wildly, thousands of dollars in differences for the same procedure at hospitals just miles apart. A membership group of medical providers, the South Florida Hospital and Healthcare Association, has called that Medicare price data guidelines, not guarantees. Now, this program, Power of Price, began with a simple question. What's to stop a healthcare provider from making public the money it receives from an insurance company for providing care?
You've incentivized us at Mount Sinai this morning. We will post our prices relative to Blue Cross and Aetna, our contractual prices, and we'll challenge Baptist and the other systems in the community to do the same.
That's Mount Sinai Medical Center President and CEO Steve Sonnenreich on this program back in May 2013, pledging to answer the question, how much? How much does his hospital get paid when it provides care to a patient with health insurance? Not government insurance like Medicare or Medicaid, but for working South Floridians who have medical coverage through their jobs. Sonnenreich was the first hospital boss in South Florida, maybe the first in the country, to promise to lift the veil of complexity and secrecy around health care costs, at least as far as hospitals and what they are reimbursed by insurance companies for providing care is concerned. Now, Sonnenreich will return to the Sunshine Economy later on in this program. The transparency he promised is not forthcoming, and we'll hear why. We will hear from him directly in a moment. But first, why is it so hard in health care to answer that simple question, how much? WLRN's Sammy Mack reports figuring out the real final cost of healthcare is complicated even if you've already paid your bills.
This spring, Sal Morales bought insurance on the healthcare.gov website.
I got my cards and it was like amazing. Like if I got like an American Express platinum card, that's how I felt.
Morales was unemployed at the time, money was tight, and he knew he needed regular doctor visits to manage his hypertension. He diligently researched what he would get for the price before settling on a plan.
Instead of me paying $560 for Cobra, I found out that I would have insurance for $145. I have a network deductible of $500. The first three visits to a primary care physician, they're $0, and then it's $5 out of my pocket.
That gentleman knows what it costs him, but he may not know what the actual cost of his health care is.
Bruce Rubin is president of the Florida Hospital Association.
There's one party, a hospital that provides the service. There's a second party, the patient who receives the service. And then there's a third party, the insurance company, that pays for the service.
And this three-party system, as Rubin calls it, this is where health care pricing starts to get really squirrely. Every hospital has a master list of what it charges for different services. Those charges are different from hospital to hospital. Not that the insurance companies actually pay those listed charges. No, they negotiate for better rates with individual hospitals. Because insurance companies bring in a lot more customers than one patient looking for care, they can ask for lower prices from the hospital. In turn, the hospital makes it up by treating more patients. All of this means there are about as many costs for that hypertension checkup as there are insurers and providers.
for an individual consumer, I am completely sympathetic. That is very confusing.
Ezekiel Emanuel is a health policy expert at the University of Pennsylvania. He says there's almost nothing that a consumer can look at to gauge the actual prices for their health care before buying health insurance. Those negotiated rates, the prices insurance companies really pay hospitals, they're treated like trade secrets. There is a way to see that price after it's been paid, and only if you're already insured. It's buried in a statement called an explanation of benefits. If you've ever gotten a letter from your insurance company that looks like a bill but says, "This is not a bill," you've seen one. Efren Monzon helps patients interpret those explanations for Florida Blue.
We're identifying the procedure, we're identifying the provider, the date of service, which is important, and then making sure that the amount that the member has responsibility has to be in there.
Wedged into that statement, somewhere between the billing code and the member deductible, is a column for the amount paid. This is the secret number the insurance company and the provider have worked out in their contract. The industry terms are usually adjusted rate or negotiated rate. But in Florida Blue's explanation of benefits to patients, it's simply called amount paid.
We paid the contracted amount based on whatever the provider has. So that would be the amount paid.
Collect enough of those statements from patients at all different hospitals with all different insurance, and you could get a clear sense of what healthcare costs. There are companies and crowdsourcing projects trying to do just that in other parts of the country. But so far, it hasn't happened in South Florida, which is all part of why someone like Sal Morales can know what his care will cost him every month.
$445, I was able to get health care.
But he won't necessarily know the true price of that health care.
So the difference between price and charge, contracted rate, deductibles, like we said, it's complex stuff. Now, we have a glossary of health care insurance terms as part of our Power of Price reporting. You can find all the coverage at WLRN.org/price. While there, tell us a story, leave us a comment, ask a question. Ask a question on Twitter, at WLRN. Use the hashtag Sunshine Economy. The convoluted process patients pay for care is obscured by a thick layer of secrecy. The classified nature of prices can cost us. Again, here's Sammy Mack.
Last November, Miami-Dade County School Superintendent Alberto Carvalho was happy to announce that the district and the teachers' union had just ratified a new contract. It included bonuses for most teachers, and it settled how to handle health care expenses after yet another year of rising costs.
We know exactly what the district pays out in terms of claims, because we are the insurance company. There's no profit to be made.
The school board's reaction to the new contract wasn't completely celebratory.
Do we sit with our employees, knowing what their salaries are, and help them insurance-wise?
$2,700 more for his family's health. Can you please comment on that?
Our employees are tired of hearing about the rise in health care costs.
This was not the conversation the superintendent wanted.
I thought we were coming here today and first and foremost celebrate something pretty remarkable.
Employees actually pay for what they think is company-provided insurance by lower wages.
Uwe Reinhardt teaches healthcare economics at Princeton University.
They take the money out of your paycheck and buy you insurance, and you say thank you.
As healthcare costs increase, more of that money is taken from the employee in the form of higher employee contributions and out-of-pocket expenses. Driving costs even higher for employees, says Reinhardt, is the secrecy of the actual prices. Carvalho's right. The district knows exactly what it pays for healthcare claims. What it doesn't know is how much it's paying to any one hospital or provider for a given service. Which means it doesn't know who's the most expensive or who's the cheapest. Self-insured employers like Miami-Dade County and the school district bear the financial risk, but they still have to hire an insurance company to manage the claims process and negotiate rates with hospitals on behalf of their employees. Insurers and providers protect those negotiated rates behind non-disclosure agreements, secret even from the self-insured employers taking the financial risk.
It's almost like blindfolding people, shoving them into Macy's, and say, buy efficiently for a shirt. Well, you come out with a pair of shorts.
Martha Baker agrees.
To save money, why don't we know? And that's our frustration about transparency of reimbursement rate.
Baker is president of the union that covers nurses, doctors, and other employees at Jackson Health System. She says it's frustrating for her and other county union leaders to have a conversation about healthcare contributions without knowing where the money goes. The school district and the county are both subject to the state's open records laws. Still, the insurance carriers they use, Cigna and AvMed, rejected our public records requests for detailed accounts of what was actually paid out, even though the county and the schools own that risk. Both insurers cited trade secrets. Frederick Ingram is head of the Miami-Dade County Teachers Union.
Our salaries have not gone up in the same way that healthcare costs have gone up.
Ingram has been urging the school district to figure out how the money gets spent. And Ingram says the district has that opportunity. The school board plans to shop around this year for a company that will negotiate better rates on the district's behalf.
We have to know who's driving up costs, what's going to affect the bottom line for our premium costs, and what is actually contributing to that.
After all, Ingram points out, money spent on healthcare is money that's not going into a teacher's paycheck.
It's difficult. You don't feel like you're getting your full value.
Cheryl Collier teaches gifted second graders at the Leawood K-8 Center.
Obviously, they're negotiating sort of blindly.
So if you presented this to your second grade class, how do you think they would react?
They would be angry that they are paying for something or being forced to pay for something, not really fully understanding the value of what they're paying for. Yeah. Yeah. Even a second grader would be upset.
WLRN Sammy Mack reporting for the Sunshine Economy, Power of Price. What's your experience paying for your health care? How much do you know about the cost of your care? Let us know on Twitter. At WLRN is the call sign. Use the hashtag Sunshine Economy. Plenty more to come here on the Sunshine Economy. The power of price still to come. Healthcare buyers without bargaining.
There is no true negotiation. I can't pick up the phone to an underwriter and say, as we talked about, cut me some slack here. Let's look at this. I really want to get these rates down. You could try and you wouldn't get anywhere.
Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy, Power of Price. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. There's no debate that you have more at risk with your health care now than in years past. Yes, incredible medical innovations have made medically possible what was science fiction just a generation ago. But patients getting health insurance through their employers are increasingly shouldering the financial risk for their care through higher premiums, higher copays, higher deductibles. Consider this. In 2006, just over half of workers with insurance through his or her job had a deductible to meet before insurance kicked in. Today, that's up to 8 out of 10. Over the same time period, the average annual deductible these workers are paying is more than doubled, now close to $1,300. We spoke with one patient who has opted out of health insurance altogether, foregoing coverage to negotiate his own medical prices in a way most cannot.
How is it possible that if I have insurance, it's $6,600 for an operation for the hospital, and yet if I pay cash, it's less than half that?
Mr. Smith from Hollywood knows the pain and recovery from a hernia. He's had the operation 3 times, the most recent in August. But unlike his hernia operation 3 years ago, he does not have health insurance now. Smith doesn't want us to use his first name because of privacy concerns. He's 52 years old and works in the marine industry. He moved to Broward County in 2000, and he had coverage until he got fed up with the confusion and complexity of the cost for his care.
I'm a fairly intelligent person, but I found dealing with insurance and the bills and trying to obtain a clear, itemized bill from the guy who's sending us the bill was very difficult.
Smith shuffled through his old health care bills and insurance explanation of benefits. Among the paperwork, an email from a cost adjustment company laying out the charges it was able to negotiate for his hernia operation back in August. It was a simple, itemized list with the prices. Initial doctor visit, $125. Surgeon, $1,000. Hospital, $2,753. Anesthetist, $1,000. All in, Smith paid about $5,000 for his surgery, the same as what his deductible used to be, but without the monthly premium. No explanation of benefits, no copay, no deductible to be met. He knew the price for his hernia operation and paid it before going under the knife. Smith was fortunate to have a personal connection to the cost adjustment company negotiating for him. Usually, they don't work with individual patients.
It's hard to argue that price transparency is a bad thing.
Dr. Jennifer Schneider is the Vice President of Strategic Analytics at Castlight Health. That's a company that works with big employers to analyze how their workers use their health insurance.
I think the question is, does price transparency actually drive behavior change?
And for companies Castlight works with, it has. Employees spend 18% less on laboratory work when they can shop around, 8% less for CT scans and MRIs.
So we're seeing that when people see prices, in addition to quality metrics, they're making choices, and those choices have real cost savings results.
But in order to shop around, a patient has to know the prices. Now, and here's where it gets complex fast. If they have insurance, they would have to know their copay and deductible in-network and out-of-network, but they still may not know what the insurance company has agreed to reimburse the healthcare provider. Mark Abba is the general manager of the Life and Health Insurance Division of MHG Insurance Brokers in Fort Lauderdale. He sits between health insurance companies and firms looking for insurance plans to offer their employees.
I don't have, nor am I privy to, either upfront or behind, the contracted rates. That's the bottom line.
If a firm is not self-insured, it usually contracts with an insurance company, an underwriter, to provide health coverage. What ABBA is saying is an employer making health insurance decisions for their employees can choose from a menu of insurance plans, but they're not allowed to know what is being paid on their behalf and forget about negotiating on the premium.
There is no true negotiation. I can't pick up the phone to an underwriter and say, as we talked about, cut me some slack here, let's look at this. I really want to get these rates down. You could try, and you wouldn't get anywhere.
So employers can know premium prices and coverage levels, but they cannot know what different insurance carriers have agreed to pay the same healthcare provider.
Depending on the type of service we provide, we will have access to their contracts. We will have access to their billing system.
That's Dev Saharia, CEO at AGS Health. His company knows. AGS works for hospitals and other healthcare providers, figuring out a patient's bill and making sure it gets paid. His firm does have access to the contracted rates between providers and insurance carriers, but he cannot legally share those rates with patients or their employers, just as healthcare providers cannot share what insurance companies have agreed to reimburse them for care. It's a price that insured patients don't see, even as patients take on a greater financial share of their health costs.
As insurance premiums are going up, companies are trying to manage costs by shifting some of the burden to the employees. You know, the self-pay component is the fastest growing for many reasons.
I feel much happier doing it this way.
For the hernia patient and the cash payer, Smith, he accepted all of the financial responsibilities, negotiating his way to what he considered a fair price for his health care.
Much more in control of knowing what the bills are and that I'm paying a fair price than doing it through the insurance, where you have just I felt like it was a deluge of paperwork, explanation of benefits, a bill from here, a bill from there.
Instead, for Smith's hernia operation, it was a one simple email showing him his negotiated costs for the operation. You can see a photo of that email with the agreed-upon costs that he had for the hernia operation before he went under the knife, the photo at wlrn.org/price. You can also participate in our live web chat ongoing right now. Tell us your experience. Do you get your dollar's worth in healthcare coverage? Let us know on Twitter, at WLRN. Use the hashtag Sunshine Economy. As we've reported, this is pretty complex stuff, right? It's often secret information that can leave little opportunity to negotiate the cost of healthcare. That's the power of price. But there are some early efforts to bring some sunshine to the cost of care. Insurance carriers offer online tools to estimate the cost of a procedure based upon one's particular insurance coverage. Some providers offer cash payers a price list. But these price menus tend to be limited in scope and approximate costs. Reporter Todd Bookman takes us to New Hampshire, which has become a national model for healthcare price transparency.
We are in Manchester, the biggest city in this small state. It's where Richard Call lives and makes his living as a property manager. And like so many self-employed, Call doesn't have health insurance.
I haven't had insurance since 1987, when it skyrocketed to about $3,500 a year from $2,400 a year. So those are funny numbers today, I suppose, right?
In these past 25 or so years, he and his wife have paid out of pocket when something urgent comes up while letting other things slide, including the much overdue colonoscopy he needs but can't seem to get a quote for.
Shopping around, and everybody I asked, whether it was a doctor or an institution like a hospital, they just looked at me like It was crazy.
This is a guy who always prices out construction materials before purchasing. Why couldn't he do the same with his health care? Well, in New Hampshire, unlike, say, Florida, you can. There's a website called nhhealthcost.org. For the last 7 years, it's listed every hospital's price for about 30 common procedures, including the actual prices that insurers pay. The problem is, not many people know about it.
We have not marketed it. We have not done any outreach.
This is Tyler Brannon, health policy analyst with New Hampshire's insurance department.
The world is a bit different now than it was in 2006 or 7. And these data are a lot more important to a greater number of people.
The technical name for this collection of prices is an all-payer claims database. More than a dozen states are in various stages of building one. But New Hampshire was the first with a user-friendly website, which made it something of a laboratory for health policy researchers, like Ha Tu with the Washington, D.C. group Mathematica Policy Research. She studied the New Hampshire experiment.
The prices from the high-price hospitals did shift, not perhaps as a direct result of consumers voting with their feet.
Instead of consumers using the website to shop around, the insurance industry used it to pressure the hospitals that were charging the most. With the all-payer claims database, it was the insurers who now had more leverage. They could say to hospitals, look, you charge twice what your nearest competitor charges, and we're not going to pay it anymore. And some of New Hampshire's large public employers started using the information to negotiate directly with the highest cost hospitals. So that's what happened in New Hampshire. In other states, states with more people and more competition, the results could be different. But Denise Love with the National Association of Health Data Organizations says not all politicians are willing to find out.
Money is tight, so funding is probably the greatest obstacle.
Florida's Agency for Healthcare Administration asked for $5 million in the last budget cycle to finance a claims database. The request was denied. Denise Love says whatever the price tag, it's a small expense for greater transparency.
And that is important for the state policymakers, but also for the industry, and ultimately, we hope, for consumers.
Consumers like Richard Call, who kept putting off that colonoscopy because no one could give him a price. Finally, a local hospital did.
After 50, you're supposed to get it done, so I've been asking about it since I was 50. I'm 63 now. I finally got it done.
Call got a clean bill of health, and his bill for the procedure was the price they quoted him, $2,000. For WLRN, I'm Todd Bookman.
Have you used an online price tool before getting health care? Let us know. Our live web chat happening right now at WLRN.org/price or on Twitter at WLRN. Use the hashtag Sunshine Economy. Still to come on The Power of Price, healthcare in South Florida. Is an all-payers claim database the answer?
Sometimes the insurers don't want to give this information, so you don't necessarily want to let all your competitors know what you're paying, for example. And the hospitals haven't always been welcoming to this as well, because they don't necessarily want everybody to know what they are charging various insurers for various different treatments either.
Welcome back to the Sunshine Economy on WLRN. Power of Price, healthcare in South Florida. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening. 16 months ago, the boss at Mount Sinai Medical Center made headlines by coming on this program and promising to make public what insurance companies pay his hospital for treating their customers. It was a surprising pledge, a hospital CEO vowing to release the secret prices his facility negotiates privately with insurance companies. That CEO, Steve Sonnenreich, will join us again on the program. Now, the transparency of healthcare prices Sonnenreich committed himself to exists, but not in Florida. All payer claims databases gather up thousands, in some cases millions, of medical insurance claims to calculate real costs. 19 states have these public databases in some stages of development. WLRN's Sammy Mack spoke with Julie Appleby, who has been covering these databases for Kaiser Health News. And according to Appleby, a database alone often is not enough.
Trying to find out the price of something has been very difficult for people, and this is something that it's unlike any other purchase you make. You can't really find out how much this is going to cost ahead of time for the most part. And even with these databases, what the experts are telling me is that you need to double check. So just because the database tells you that something is going to be $1,900, they suggest you also call and double check that with the hospital. And if you're insured, double check it with your insurer, because there may be different co-payments or other amounts that these websites haven't taken into account that could affect how much you pay. So while the more information is helpful, it's not completely all there yet. Even in these states that have these databases, people are still needing to double check, and it can be very difficult to find out how much something costs.
How common are these databases?
There's about 14 states that have them right now, but there's about another 20 to 30 that are either in the process or seriously considering putting together one of these databases.
And if you were a state, why would you want to have one of these databases?
There's a couple of reasons. A lot of researchers seem to think that by having this information in one place, that we can track prices, we'll know how much things cost, that that may ultimately reduce healthcare spending. But it's also a way to figure out who's getting what are the demographics of your state, who's getting what kind of medical treatment and where.
Florida currently does not have one of these all-payer claims databases. So when a patient goes and gets a service, who's tracking how much that costs?
Well, certainly if you have insurance, your insurer is tracking it. Your insurer has negotiated these rates with that doctor or that hospital, so they're tracking the cost. What they may not necessarily know is what the other insurers in the state are paying for those same kinds of services, or perhaps what facilities outside their service area are charging for those types of services. So if you have insurance, your insurer knows. If you're uninsured, it's less clear who is tracking that cost.
What are the reasons that a state might not want an all-payer claims database tracking this information?
Well, it's difficult to set up. They can be expensive. There's a lot of work that goes into putting them together. So I think that there is that concern about how complicated will this be to pull all this together. And sometimes the insurers don't want to give this information. So many of the states that have passed legislation have made it mandatory that the insurers have to provide this information.
For the insurer, why would you potentially not want to do that?
You don't necessarily want to let all your competitors know what you're paying, for example. And the hospitals haven't always been welcoming to this as well, because they don't necessarily want everybody to know what they are charging various insurers for various different treatments either.
And so for a patient in a state that does have one of these databases, that does have a portal that makes it easier for consumers to look through, what kind of information can you find?
You know, it varies. In New Hampshire, there's a list of about 40 different things that you can look up, and you can look it up by facility, see how much each hospital costs, and by your insurer, how much each insurer it might cost through your insurer. In Colorado, it's a little more limited. They just started. They have information on the cost of hip and knee replacements, for example, and the cost of childbirth at various hospitals around the state, but they're going to be adding more conditions. And in Maine, they actually have more than the 40 that New Hampshire has. So it really even varies within the states.
How have we seen that impact price?
I think in New Hampshire, the jury is still a little bit out on that. There was a study done not too long after they started this that didn't show a lot of change in the price variability from one place to another. But more recent efforts have looked at prices, and they have seen some changes. But what most of the experts are telling me is this information alone isn't really enough to change consumer behavior and therefore maybe price. What it does is create an awareness that, hey, you know what, it might cost a whole lot more to go to that facility than this one down here. And it raises that discussion about why is it that there are such wide variations in price.
If access to this information isn't enough to change the way that patients shop, what else do they need?
What they're finding in New Hampshire is that there needs to be some kind of incentive, you know, to shop around. Why would you shop around if it was going to cost you, the insured person, the same amount? So what the insurers have done is actually create some new insurance designs that hit the consumer with some financial penalties if they go to the more expensive places. So this is creating an incentive. So this is saying, for example, one insurer rolled out a plan where if you go to the lower price facilities, you will pay no copayment for some of your lab tests. And if you go to the lower price facilities, you would pay only maybe $150 toward an outpatient surgery. But if you went to the higher price facilities, you could face your whole deductible, which could be several thousand dollars before that insurance coverage kicked in. So this was creating the incentive to go to a lower price place. And a lot of folks were telling me that the information alone just on prices wasn't enough, that they had to create these other incentives to get people to actually shop.
So that's for people with insurance. What about people who are uninsured?
In New Hampshire, they're telling me that is probably the group that's finding these most useful, because they can go online and find out, well, how much will that mammogram cost me? Or if I do need to get knee repair or a colonoscopy, how much will that cost? And there can be some huge variations in that cost, even with the discounts that many hospitals offer people who are uninsured. This gives them a little bit more of an idea of how much they might have to pay out of pocket for those various things at different places.
And do they tell you anything about the quality of the care?
That's been one criticism of these databases by folks, that there isn't a lot of information about quality. So price is one factor, and price is not necessarily correlated with quality. In fact, some of the lower cost places may have higher quality than those. But bottom line is, there's not a lot of data right now.
In the states that do have these databases, how do they get funded? Who runs them?
Generally, the states take it out of their general fund, so it's taxpayer-funded, but they could also place an assessment on insurers, for example, or other people who are going to use this database. They may be able to find some money out of some of their Medicaid funding for it.
These databases are just one way of looking at what healthcare actually costs. What else is out there?
You know, there's a little bit of information out there from insurers themselves. Like I mentioned, they have some of their own websites that show you the range of costs at various places. And some employers are also getting into this as well, but maybe in a slightly different way. In California, the California Public Employees Retirement System, which is this huge system that buys insurance for a lot of folks, looked at how much they were spending for hip and knee replacements. And they said, you know what, we're going to set a ceiling price of $30,000, and that's all we're going to pay. And if people want to go to a more expensive hospital, they'll pay the difference. So while this wasn't a database, it put a price out there of $30,000. And what they found is that, yes, indeed, people did switch to the lower price places because they didn't want to pay the difference above $30,000 that this might cost. So there was that incentive. But interestingly, the biggest savings came from hospitals themselves lowering their prices. So here's an example of where it wasn't a database necessarily, but they put a number out there. They said, this is what we're going to pay. People chose to go to the lower price places in general, but the hospitals themselves also chose to lower their price. So a lot of folks look at that as another example of how price transparency can perhaps change the market.
Julie Appleby of Kaiser Health News, thanks so much for talking all payer claims databases with us.
Thanks for having me.
WLRN Sammy Mack speaking with Julie Appleby of Kaiser Health News for the Sunshine Economy, Power of Price, Healthcare in South Florida. Let us know your story on Twitter at WLRN. Use the hashtag Sunshine Economy and a live web chat with more details right now online at WLRN.org/price. Still to come, the complexity, the confusion, the secrecy of healthcare prices and the effort toward clarity.
We will post our prices relative to Blue Cross and Aetna, our contractual prices.
We're back on the Sunshine Economy, the Power of Price, Healthcare in South Florida. I'm Tom Hudson. As we mentioned, this program began with a simple question. What's to stop a healthcare provider from making public the money it receives from an insurance company for providing care? How much is healthcare? Steve Sonnenreich is the president and CEO at Mount Sinai Medical Center based in Miami Beach. He made the pledge 16 months ago. He returns to the Sunshine Economy. Steve, nice to see you again. Welcome back to the program.
Thank you, Tom. Good morning.
So can you make public your contracted rates?
No, we're not able to do that.
Why make the pledge?
Well, when I made the pledge, obviously I intended to post our rates. Got back to the hospital, met with our executive management team, and found out that our contracts with the various insurance companies preclude us from releasing that information.
And those would be those non-disclosure agreements?
That's correct.
You were aware you had those when you sat here 16 months ago?
Actually, I have to admit I was not.
And so as you read through those non-disclosure agreements, what did you learn about those limitations it puts on you as a healthcare provider moving toward price transparency?
It absolutely precludes us from releasing our data.
And you are a party to those contracts. Contract takes two parties. Have any of those non-disclosure agreements come up for renewal in the 16 months that we last spoke with you?
Yes, they have.
And you've signed them again?
Yes, we have.
And why?
It's the only way to be able to conduct business in this community.
What would happen if you refused to sign a non-disclosure agreement with a private health provider, healthcare insurance provider?
We would risk not being able to take care of people who are insured in our community.
But did you have that discussion with the insurance carrier about those non-disclosure agreements that limit your ability as a provider to provide clarity in pricing?
We have had those conversations.
And tell us about those.
There's just no way around it, Tom.
Why would you, as a leader in this community, as a health provider who made this pledge 16 months ago, Steve, and working toward health transparency, health pricing transparency, continue to agree to a non-disclosure agreement?
Fundamentally, it's the only way to do business in this community.
And I want to get back to this point, though, and dig a little bit deeper, Steve. Did you explore not signing the disclosures?
What we did was we asked the various carriers that we do business with if we could disclose the information, and they asked us not to.
And you agreed to for fear of losing the business?
Yes, sir.
What kind of risk would that put a medical center like Mount Sinai at if it did lose the business?
It just would not be something that we would be able to do.
And did you find any insurance company, have you found any insurance company willing to renegotiate the non-disclosure agreement?
No.
So what is a patient to do? What's an employer to do that's looking to provide coverage for their employees in this community, but also provide coverage at a reasonable rate and with reasonable acknowledgement of what those costs are going to be?
Well, I believe that a significant component of a solution to this issue is for large employers to take a look at this and band together and to say that they demand price transparency in this marketplace, that it's important to the health of their organizations and the health and the fiscal health of their employees.
You are a large employee in this community, 3,000 people, I believe?
3,700.
3,700 people. So you are one of the top 10 employers in South Florida.
Top 10 private employers.
Private employers in South Florida. You also provide your own employees with insurance.
Yes, we do.
And you have access to that claims data, is that correct?
Yes, we do.
What does that claims data tell you about your insured population and their health care costs?
We're probably one of the few employers in the community that has an understanding of the price differential between our facility and other facilities in the marketplace.
Because you're able to look at what you know what you charge as a facility, and then you know what your employees are incurring when they go to other facilities.
We know what we're paid by insurance companies, and we know what we have to pay when our employees, due to an emergency situation, wind up in another area hospital. And in many instances, it's 30, 40, 50% higher than we would be paid for the same service.
Does the non-disclosure agreement put Mount Sinai at a competitive disadvantage?
Yes, it does.
And how?
Well, many would like to argue that quality is a factor. And so when you look at a situation like our cardiovascular program, our cardiac surgical program is statistically the best program in the entire state. Physicians, nurses, other allied health professionals travel from throughout the community to see Dr. Lamellis for their cardiac surgery, yet we're reimbursed much lower than other area hospitals for the same procedures, even though we have the highest quality program in the state.
We're speaking with Steve Sonnenreich, the president and CEO of Mount Sinai Medical Center based in Miami Beach. This is the Sunshine Economy, Power of Price, Healthcare in South Florida. A little bit less than a year and a half ago, Mr. Sonnenreich made a pledge to make public his contracted rates with insurance companies. He's reporting back today he cannot do that. What's the impact of healthcare costs by this secrecy that is embedded in the industry, Steve?
Well, we've watched healthcare costs go up year after year, 9-10% or more, year after year, and it threatens the local economy. It impacts the wallets of working people, policemen, firemen, school teachers, public private employees. It's a very significant challenge to the well-being of our economy, our local economy, and the economy around the state and around the nation.
And as an employer is making these decisions for his or her employees, as employees are trying to make decisions for themselves and their dependents for health care, they're doing it blindly in this environment. How did it get to this point, Steve?
It really is a matter of employers grabbing the bull by the horns, the proverbial bull by the horns.
But they don't sign the non-disclosure agreements. It's between an insurance company and a health care provider. The employer is the recipient of the effect of those non-disclosure agreements, the secrecy that's embedded in the pricing system.
But I believe the employers also are subject to those same agreements and have a great deal of difficulty getting their own claims data. So they are paying for claims without actually knowing what the pricing is. And so this is a matter of employers really stepping up and saying, this is a very significant line item in our budget. It's very important to the health of our organization and the health of our employees. And we need to have transparency if we're going to be able to control this cost on a going forward basis.
What would be the impact of Mount Sinai being able to publish its contracted rates on Mount Sinai's finances?
Well, for Mount Sinai, you know, we would never do anything that was, we would never breach any of our contractual agreements. So we just could not do that, as you know.
Right. But I guess the question is, if you're able to, and it's a hypothetical, admittedly, Steve, if you're able to make public some costs, even to your own employees, if you take your own all-payer claims database of Mount Sinai employees, gather that up for a price tool for them to shop around, what would be the impact? And Mount Sinai would be included in there, as would other healthcare providers around the region. What would be the impact to Mount Sinai?
The impact for Mount Sinai would be very positive, because we are as cost efficient as anyone in the marketplace, more so actually.
Where are your colleagues in this?
Well, I do believe it's a great item for the Florida Hospital Association to get their arms around. And I believe that the Hospital Association has appointed a committee on transparency. And I know that Bruce Rubin, the Hospital Association president, will be proactive on this.
And to what end, though? We've seen the Hospital Association request funding from the state legislature to begin really building out an all-payer claims database here in Florida. That funding has been rejected. We know that there are online price tools that are put together by the insurance companies, but those are approximate costs, not actual costs based upon one's insurance plan. So beyond the rhetoric, Steve, what are the actions that you anticipate?
It really behooves the Hospital Association, the community of hospitals, large employers throughout the state to get together and to say, we need to take care of this issue. We need to address it. We need to make this simple. To hide behind complexity and quality is just not going to hold water as these costs continue to threaten our economy.
As well as hiding behind legal non-disclosure agreement. And we asked you to share the non-disclosure language with us, and you were even forbidden to do that. Is that right?
That is correct.
And so you can't even share the language of secrecy in the open. This becomes a very Orwellian system. Would you agree?
Yes.
As a leader, what steps will you continue to take?
Continue to meet with you and other journalists in the community and try to educate the public about this issue and how important it is to our local economy for us to have transparency so that our consumers could make intelligent decisions.
We will continue the conversation with Steve Sonnenreich, the president and CEO of Mount Sinai Medical Center, on price transparency in healthcare. It is the Sunshine Economy, the power of price, healthcare in South Florida. We're back on the Sunshine Economy here on WLRN, the power of price, healthcare in South Florida. Join the conversation at WLRN.org/price. I'm Tom Hudson, speaking with Steve Sonnenreich, president and CEO of Mount Sinai Medical Center. 16 months ago, Sonnenreich came on the program to pledge the public release of contracted rates that his healthcare facility has with private insurance companies like Florida Blue, Aetna, United Health, Cigna, and others. And today, Steve, you came to report back that you cannot, because of non-disclosure agreements that you were unaware of at the time. As a CEO of a major medical facility, I'm surprised that you didn't realize you didn't have non-disclosure agreements with major healthcare providers. Why did you not know?
That's an interesting question. I think what's important here is to continue to talk about transparency and how important it is to our community. And you know, to just say that this is a very complex issue, it's hard to understand, is really not the right thing to do.
Well, I understood, but as the ultimate leader of the organization, of one who clearly is not going to review every piece of paper that is involved with legal agreements that your organization is making, but to have that void of information, to have that void of information as a chief executive that your facility has agreed to keep secret its prices with insurance companies, seems to be, is it a lack of understanding of the process? You're a longtime healthcare executive, Steve.
Tom, yeah, we're very proud at Mount Sinai. We have a wonderful facility. We have great employees, great medical staff, a great board of trustees. We do phenomenal things every day. Mount Sinai is a standalone institution located on Miami Beach, a community of 90,000. Mm-hmm. 70% of our patient population come from outside of Miami Beach. They're willing to travel. They're willing to cross the causeway in order to have great medical care. And so we don't have any leverage with insurance companies in this marketplace. We're a standalone. There are very few standalones in the entire country, and there are even fewer standalone academic medical centers like Mount Sinai. We've trained many of the physicians who are in this community and many of the nurses and allied health professionals. So my role as a chief executive officer is to provide high-quality care to this community, and I think we do that, and we walk that talk every day. Mount Sinai is threatened by the lack of transparency that occurs with insurance companies. And I'm glad to be here again with you today, and I'll come here again and again until we're able to encourage transparency. But it's not just myself from Mount Sinai. It's really engaging the large employers in this community to protect their employees and to make healthcare more affordable in this community.
What did you find out as you reviewed your contracted costs that you were not able to make public? What did you find out about the reimbursements that Mount Sinai receives from private insurance companies of its customers that it serves?
Well, we've known for some time that we receive reimbursements that are 30, 40, 50% lower than what other facilities in this community receive. And they receive those higher payments not based upon quality, because quality throughout this community happens to be very good.
How do you know
They receive those additional payments based upon their market leverage and their market size. And we experience that when our employees, because only 10% of our employees live on Miami Beach, and so many of our employees wind up due to emergencies at other area hospitals. And when we see those claims and we see and we know what we would have been reimbursed by our insurance company and what we're paying at other facilities, it's staggering.
What's the next step for you?
Keep talking about this with our colleagues and with the community. I believe that part of my role as a community leader is to continue to talk about this and meet with large employers and bring some sense of sanity and rational thinking to a very challenging situation for our economy.
Steven Sonnereich, the president and CEO of Mount Sinai Medical Center in Miami Beach, here on the Sunshine Economy. Nice to see you again, Steve. Thanks for coming back to report.
Great being with you, Tom.
This is The Power of Price, and up until the last couple of years, healthcare insurance costs had been rising at a fever pitch. The pace of those increases has cooled a bit recently, but the amount of money Americans spend on healthcare continues climbing. And that continues raising the temperature on all stakeholders, insurance companies, healthcare providers, device makers, drug manufacturers, employers, and yes, patients, to find suitable treatments. I'm Tom Hudson. We have more online at WLRN.org/price and with our partner, the Miami Herald. Our technical director today, Wanda Miles. I'm Tom Hudson. Thanks again for listening.
Everybody's got the fever. That is something you all know. Fever isn't such a new thing. Fever started long ago. Fever, till you sizzle. What a lovely way.